Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. And here in the studio now, I've got John Millick. Morning, John.
Good morning. How are you, Aaron?
I'm pretty good. You've just had a little walk across town to get to the studio, bumping into lots of people, I hear.
Oh, yeah, like usual. It's better than being on the e-bike. It's on the e-bike, you just go straight through, but walking, you just bump into some nice people.
That's one of the things I like about a town like this as well. I don't know if other small towns are like this. Probably are, but I haven't lived in one.
Yeah, well, Byron Bay I lived in for a few years. Got to know a lot of people there, too, you know, especially out in the surf.
Byron's a bit bigger, isn't it?
Oh, it's a lot bigger.
A lot bigger,
it's
right.
It's a lot bigger than Raglan. But Raglan, to me, it's a miniature Byron.
Yeah, we might talk about that a bit later on because there's quite a big discussion about that. But folks, John, if you don't know, John is a photographer, and we call you John, but your name is spelt. People might see your name around and get confused.
It's Yun, which is a different spelling.
J-W-A-N.
Yeah, Yun.
Yeah, but I thought you told me to call you John.
Just call me John. Just
call you.
Just call me whatever you like.
Yeah. That's the easiest thing. But yeah, if you see J-W-A-N, that's it. Where's the family name from?
Ukrainian.
Yeah, okay.
My dad was Ukrainian.
Hot topic at the moment.
Hot topic.
I bet you're glad you're not there right now.
No, wanted to go one day, but not yet.
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment.
Yeah, but you were born in Australia and raised there, was that?
Yeah, born in Wollongong, okay. Which is south of Sydney, on the south coast. I stayed there, did my apprenticeship.
Not in photography?
No, I did it in engineering, actually.
Okay.
5-year apprenticeship. And then once I finished that was it. I hated it.
It's not the first time I've heard that kind of story.
But the old man said, you can't go surfing all the time. You've got to get a job. Once you leave school, get a job. And that was it.
There wasn't really a surfing industry at that point, was there?
In Australia, there was.
It was
pretty big. We had a lot of good companies over there. We had Byrne, we had Terry Richardson. A lot of really hot surfers come from that region.
Yeah. But did you end up here pretty quickly?
I come here in Raglan when I was 21.
Right.
21. That was in 1971.
So was that to escape the old man's watchful eye?
No. The old man was cool. He was, how do I say it? Once I did what I wanted, got a trade.
Yeah.
Had a trade. That was the main thing. Got a trade. Yeah. Then I was free. I could do whatever I liked.
Yeah. And when did you decide that actually you're a photographer?
That's a different, completely different story.
Yeah.
It was an accident.
Right.
It was a real accident. I went on the dole queue in Australia.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in front of me that he got offered this job. It was permanent afternoon shift from 5 o'clock in the afternoon to 1 in the morning. And I was working in a film laboratory. And the guy said, no, I don't want it. And I just sold it. And then I went in and I said, I'll take that job.
Right.
I could surf all morning.
Yep.
Work in a photography lab, which was a 24-hour processing place, which I would splice all the negatives together, hundreds of them, and they'd be all ready for the next day.
Okay.
And in this laboratory, it was called Palco Film Laboratory, I remember. And, they gave me a pink panel van. I could use any camera I wanted. I could take photos. I could develop them. End of story. You know, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd finish, go to sleep, get up, go surfing, go to work. It was perfect. That's perfect job.
Perfect job.
And that's how I got into photography.
You didn't start. Did you have a camera at that time?
Or
did
I didn't need one.
You didn't need one.
No, they had professional photographers in this lab too.
Okay. So it was the full.
There was cameras
deals.
There I could borrow.
Wow.
Just use as well. It was amazing.
Because decent cameras have never been cheap, but back then it was, if you had what the average person was using, they weren't very good at all, were they?
No, but these cameras were top of the range because they were wedding photographers, the guys, and I'd just borrow a camera and take it down to the beach, take photos with my mates surfing and that.
Yeah, but that's just for fun.
That was for fun.
Yeah. When did you start selling photos or getting paid to do it?
My first encounter selling photos was when I lived in Raglan. I had a dark room out of Whale Bay.
Yeah.
And then I started making postcards, little black and white postcards.
Kind of like just all normal postcard size. I was going to ask you what size, but we all know what it is.
Yeah. And I just put them in a Raglan West store.
Yeah.
And sell them from there. That was my first sales. And then there was always enough money in there. Oh, get some milk and bread.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You know, that was my first sales, really.
Right. And just postcard size.
Yeah, just postcards. Then it just grew from there.
Right. So there wasn't a grand plan or anything?
No, no. It was just see how it went. And I was in living out at Whale Bay, I was in the perfect location to go surfing, take pictures.
Yeah.
And then I started doing enlargements. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, down in me dungeon, I call it. I could only work in the nighttime because there were so many cracks in the walls and that. My darkroom was only worked at night.
The darkroom wasn't very dark.
Not in the daytime. It's pretty useless.
That's pretty funny.
But, yeah, I started doing bigger prints, fraying them and putting bamboo around them as frames.
Yeah.
And then surfing gear in Hamilton started buying my work. Mike Court Shop.
Right.
He had a shop in Hamilton surfing.
So is that like the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were selling a lot of my photos in there then, you know. Mike was. Yeah.
How did you hook up with him? Did he just find what you were doing out here?
Well, got to know Mike because he was a surfer. You know, and they seen my work. People were starting to see my work around.
And it just kind of built?
Yeah, just built up from there.
So was there a time when you thought, actually, this could be my job? This could be how I earn my living?
Photography is a really hard one to earn a living because there's so many good photographers out there.
Yeah.
But, I had to get into other avenues like wedding photography because I learnt from a really master photographer in Hamilton, a guy called Bill Limberg.
Yeah.
He was a German guy and he put me under his wing after I did my photo journalist course.
I'm just
going
to move that a little bit closer.
Okay. Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah. So I worked with the guy, Bill Limberg, and he got me into wedding photography, studio photography, all sorts of photography.
I think I remember that name.
Bill Limberg, yeah. I think he was in Ross Trevor Street.
Yeah.
He was a really big, you could drive cars into his studio, it was that big.
Right.
You know, and we did all, it was pre-digital, we had the big Hasselblads, we had the Rollies and massive cameras.
So these are medium format
format. 4x5s. I don't think we had any 8x10 formats, but the 4x5s were good enough.
So that the film was 4x5 inches.
Yeah.
That's insane. Anyone remembers film?
Yeah.
It was normally not that big.
No, it's usually 35mm.
Yeah.
You know, most people use 35mm.
Yeah.
Cameras. But, he was interesting. So got into weddings with him, but in those days, he'd give you three rolls of film. Each roll was 24. You had to get the whole wedding in that.
Oh, that's pressure.
Yeah, it's not 1,000 shots like you shoot now, digital, bang, bang, bang. It's just, you got your film, you got to get the shots.
But even in film days, I've seen photographers use a lot more than three rolls.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
Kept it tight.
Kept it real tight.
Does that actually give, it forces a different kind of focus, doesn't it, when you're taking photos?
Yeah, it does. It does. You've got to be precise. And what happens if someone blinks and you've got a couple of eyes closed? It's hard. You know?
Yeah, if you've got a group photo, that's almost impossible.
Yeah, it was pretty hard, but you know, they all worked out.
I've noticed on myself when I take photos that when the digital cameras arrived, that it almost lowered my concentration levels because you can just go click 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 click, and hopefully you'll get something.
Yeah,
yeah. Have you kind of tried to keep your discipline on that?
No, I don't have to anymore.
Oh, you just don't have to. Okay, it really is that easy.
I just press this just. Click, click, click.
Yeah.
Motor drive. Yeah, that was a slow motor drive, but now you can shoot 10 frames a second. But
right.
Doesn't matter anymore because film's expensive, digital cheap. You know, it's changed the whole aspect of photography.
When was the last time you took a photo with film?
Oh, that would have been a while ago.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people come into my gallery that talk to me about film cameras. You know,
there's something about being able to touch it, isn't it? Touch the film.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. You know, I used to do my own processing.
Yeah.
Me black and white, load my own film up. Yeah. You know, it's amazing when you've got a dark room and you see this image appear from nothing. You know, you photograph it. That's what got me hooked on photography, really, I think.
Yeah.
Watching something from nothing coming up, it was actually pretty amazing.
So do you feel like the experience of being a photographer has lost something with the move to digital?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, definitely. Yeah, but a lot of people now do film, shooting film.
Yeah.
You know, which is good. That's the start of it all. They want to just experiment what it used to be like.
I presume students still have to shoot and film.
I think so.
Yeah. Just for that.
It's
different. Isn't it?
I have still got a dark room, black and white dark room at home. Yeah. One day I'll probably set it up again. You know, because I still have got some film cameras. I've got about 5 or 6 of them at home.
There's a tendency for photographers to collect cameras, isn't there?
Yeah, I've got a good collection.
Got a good collection.
You know, I've got too many, actually. I give a few away to my daughters and that, you know, where they need them. So,
John's brought a camera in here with him now. It's the EOS 5D Mark IV. Was that the Mark IV?
Mark IV with a fisheye lens.
Yeah, I noticed that. Immediately he came in the studio and started taking photos of me, folks. So, and then you beckoned me in closer to the camera.
I'll get closer again. Ready?
Yeah, here we go. Live on the air. When I realized, I could see the curve on it, that it was fisheye, so I thought I probably won't actually be filling up the frame. This is a slightly horrifying experience.
You'll look round.
I'll look round, yeah. I'm not as young as I used to be, John.
Oh, tell me about it.
I took better photos back then. Is that your working camera, the one you normally have?
No, that's a camera I take everywhere with me.
So it's a bit lighter?
No, it's heavy.
Oh, it's heavy.
Yeah, I've got a bigger lens on it, but I put my fisheye on because I knew I was coming in here today. I didn't want any big telephoto.
Yeah.
But no, I've changed to Sony. I've got Sony's because I find Sony's lighter.
Yeah.
A lot lighter than the Canon. But that one's my go-everywhere camera. I'll leave it in there. And if I'm going to do some serious photography like surfing or portraits or anything like that people ask me to photograph, I'll use my Sony. Yeah.
Right. It's interesting. I've still got an old film camera, and it was a really good one. It was a Nikon. I can't even remember the name of it. That was not quite the top of the range, the next one down. And every now and again, I pull it out of the box, and I'm astonished at how heavy it is.
Yeah.
It's almost quite alarming. I was like, did I really carry this up? Like, I used to carry it up rock faces and all sorts of things over my shoulder.
I've had Nikon. I find complicated. I find Canon a lot easier.
Right.
To use. Not as many gadgets on there, I think. You know?
This is 20 years old, this camera. Yeah. So.
But it does get confusing for me sometimes. Canon, then Sony. Where do I go? You know? Different dials, different connections.
It must be. You must take photos. Like, I used to take a lot of photos when I was young, but I don't really anymore. And so I don't know the camera inside out.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like when I drive the car, everything's on reflex because I do it every day.
Yeah.
But I presume for you, the camera's like that as well. You don't have to think about too much.
You don't have to think too much about it, but in a way, the beauty of it is you take a photo, you can see it straight away. If you want it lighter or darker. Film camera, you can't see what you got.
The learning experience
experience, yeah. And a lot of times you can shoot something and it might be a bit too light, so you can just flick a dial and it's a little bit dark, you get your everything right. Pre that, you just go Photoshop.
Yeah, so the quality of photography was certainly improved with digital, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I thought I'd never go digital.
Well, that was going to be my next question, about that transition.
I thought I'd never go digital, but once I did buy a digital camera, it changed my whole life. I think the important thing, I was shooting so much at one stage, it was costing me a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I've probably, to recoup that money, you know, you had to sell a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
So now with digital, it saves you money. Once you buy the good gear, it saves you a bit of money and it's more fun.
I guess at the start with digital, the digital cameras weren't that great. I know they didn't have a lot of pixels in them.
No, they didn't.
So there must have been a point where you're thinking, no, digital's not really worth it.
Yeah,
and I know there were, for a lot of people, it was almost an emotional connection to the film. They're like, no, I'm never going digital.
Yeah, I was like that, like that. And I think the first digital I got, I was only 3 megapixel, and you couldn't change the lens.
Which is teeny tiny,
Yeah, but still, I could still enlarge them up to A4 size, you know, which was probably as big as I could go, unless you wanted real pixelated pictures and real sort of grainy pictures.
Yeah.
But, that was an experience. It was good.
I was working in an architect's office, and the first camera we had there that we could use was one that you put a floppy disk in the back of it.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't very high quality, but it made it really easy to take photos of the site and just bring them back when you were drawing things up and you couldn't remember if there was a tree in the way or, you know, what the land was doing. Actually, digital photography has made all sorts of stuff possible.
It has. It has, I know.
And do you feel like you're... the average person can take better photos as well. Are you competing with that in some ways?
Well, you can get a good photo on a phone now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, so I'm not worried about competing.
Yeah.
I don't need to compete. I'm just happy getting my picture, and it's really good to see someone else trying their hardest to get nice photos as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good photographers in this town now. You know, there's a lot, actually. Everyone's keen. There's a lot of wedding photographers, which I don't do anymore.
Oh, okay.
No, I've given that away a few years ago.
You don't need to do that now? Are you, like, you're making a living from your photography now. You don't need to do
that. No, I'm not making a living from it.
Oh, still, okay.
I'm still not making a living from it.
You've never kind of...
Because the gallery's been closed for such a long time.
Ah.
COVID.
Yes.
Roadworks, and more roadworks outside the gallery, constantly.
Well, maybe that's finished now.
Pretty close, I hope so.
Yeah. I was just driving past the other day. It looked like
yeah, I know.
They put the straw out on the ground to protect the grass. And yeah. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's done. Now I'm just redoing the whole front of the gallery again, tidying it up outside.
Right.
And then I'll open this weekend. You know, I opened last weekend. Wasn't too bad.
Okay.
I've been just opening on weekends mainly at the moment.
Right. Do you live out the back? Is that I've been in that?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that. All right. So I was just thinking, because if you're renting that or you own that space just for the gallery, that could be tricky financially.
No. It's all my space.
Yeah.
It's it was a flooring place there before I had it.
Yeah. Regular flooring. Andy Harlow was.
That's right. And Tony Sly.
Before that.
Yeah.
And then before that, it was a house.
Yeah. Probably. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah. I think it was. I think it was just a house.
Yeah. Right. I don't remember.
All right, so let's talk about some photos.
Yeah.
When you go to your website, it shows some very large photos looking beautiful. And the first one I saw, and I've just brought it up on the screen, folks, you can't see it, but it is literally a photo of lines to the horizon.
Yeah.
Now, every day I read the surf report and I look at the surf cam.
Yeah.
And it hardly ever looks like that. So, like, how patient do you have to be to get that perfect lines to the horizon shot?
You've got to be patient. That was a job, that one.
Okay.
That was a job. It was a real estate job. I was working for a friend of mine, which wanted some photos from his house.
Yeah.
And I'd go there. I was there probably four or five times to catch that picture, but I'd go out and check out the surf most mornings anyway, and this day was the day to do it. And that was a job. That was a job I had to photograph.
Just happened to be there. And that's actually not taken from...
That's a drone photograph.
Traditional. Oh, is it?
It's a drone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's not... I was going to say it's not taken from the usual angle that you see, but it is literally, folks, lines to the horizon. It's astonishing. Like, yeah.
Perfect day.
Yeah.
You know, I'd call that probably a close to... 8 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't call the 10 out of
10. Have you ever taken a 10 out of 10 in that case?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd have a few 10 out of 10s.
Okay.
Floating around somewhere.
That was the one, because I saw it just filling the whole screen.
Yeah.
And I think it was a little bit zoomed in or something when you go onto your website.
Yeah.
I was just like, I was blown away by that. But also because I know how hard it is to actually get those moments.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just patience. Sometimes, you know... I think one of my better shots I took was I waited probably 6 hours to get the photo.
Yeah.
I was there for about 6 hours waiting for the perfect lighting to hit. You know?
This is why you're not worried about competing with random people taking photos on their phones.
Yeah,
because no one else has got that patience.
Yeah, you've got to have patience in photography.
And do you, I mean, you're a keen surfer, obviously, as well, because that's how you got into this. Do you sometimes feel like, oh, I really want to go and surf? I don't want to sit here for an hour waiting for the perfect shot? Or is the photography...
Photography's taken over my life more than surfing.
Yeah.
I love surfing still. I don't surf as much as I used to. Nowhere near it, actually.
Yeah.
But I still do a bit of surfing. Stand-up paddleboarding, I still really enjoy that when I get time to do it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, my e-bike, got myself an e-bike, a lot of biking.
It's like being a kid again with an e-bike, isn't it?
That's unreal.
It's fun again.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to put so much effort in.
No, I usually bike on the beach, right down to the beach, check out the surf right down the end there, then bike back, and if it's looking good, I'll go down for a surf on the beach.
Do you take the camera into the water much?
Yeah, I've got a camera. One of my Sonys has got a water housing.
Okay.
And when I'm out there in the water, I'd rather be surfing than taking pictures, because I'm out there taking pictures enough. It's really nice just to be in the water. But the last time I surfed, I had it strapped around my neck.
Yeah.
Just in case. You know, because I've got a few nice ideas of what I want to photograph on a nice day at the beach, sort of a nice barrel coming through looking at Mount Karioi in the background, which is one I'm chasing at the
moment. You're chasing that one.
Yeah.
So, folks, if you see someone's head bobbing around in the water, it's John. So you've got it strapped like over your shoulder, the camera, and then you're going to ride the waves as well on your board.
Yeah, well, it's just strapped, and I just wrap it, throw it around the back of my neck, the board, and just go for a surf, catch a wave.
Okay.
I don't take photos of myself surfing. I don't need that. I'm not...
Yeah. Not into that.
Not into that.
Yeah, yeah. And there was also... I know there was a Chronicle article a while ago where it was talking about you got the moment with an orca in the harbour, and I went looking for that, and then
surfing orca, yeah.
Well, I'm looking at these where the orca's leaving the harbour. I mean, these are beautiful.
Mm. Yeah, my iconic shot I got in 1999 Christmas morning. There was a surfing orca at Whale Bay.
Right. Is it on here?
There it is.
Oh, that one there. Okay.
That's the one.
Yeah, so that doesn't happen very often either.
No, that there was Christmas morning.
Christmas present for...
Yeah, yeah. That was the view from my bedroom window. Whale Bay. I just had a surf and come in, and there was four of the fellas left. There was Maury, Wayne, I know the guys, Warry Wayne, Adrian Pickering, and Jeremy Walton, the guy that built the Raglan Backpackers. They were the four guys out there, and Mr. Orca.
Yeah, and it does, it kind of looks, orcas are quite big when you're in the water, and they're coming towards you on a wave.
Yeah.
They're quite good at swimming. They get out of the way, I imagine. But.
Yeah. But, yeah, that just went straight underneath them and then just kept going.
Wow.
And very lucky. I only had three shots left in my camera. I got that one, two other shots as he was going past, just along the water. And then I just run down towards Manu Bay, and I seen him jump out of the wave at Manu Bay, just jumping out of a wave, and didn't have any film left in my camera. That was it.
Oh, the frustration of running out of film.
Yeah, that's it, run out of film. Because that was film days.
Yeah, but you got that shot like that. Yeah. I mean, how do you feel when you get that shot?
Pretty excited.
Although you don't know, because it's film, you don't know if it's come out right or not.
Don't know, because... That was shot with a Canon, but the lens I had, it used to zoom in and out all the time. Sometimes, you know, it wouldn't focus properly.
Yep.
And I just didn't know if I had it.
Yeah, the autofocus in those days wasn't as switched on as it is now.
No. Then took it into town the next day, Boxing Day, and got it processed, and there it was.
That must be the joy of also being the processor yourself. You're like, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, it was pretty special that day.
So I was talking to you a while ago, and you said something about having old film footage of Raglan in the 70s. Am I recalling that correctly?
Film, movie?
Yeah, movie. Yeah.
No.
Not movie? Just old shots.
Old shots, yeah, in the 70s. I've got an old surfing movie I made up. It was called Rock Riders.
Yeah.
That was with the old VHSs and all that, which I'm playing around with still.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to get that onto digital. But that's another thing I'm working on now. I'm sort of spending more time doing filming.
Yeah.
And I want to make another little movie up if I can.
Okay. What's the angle going to be for the movie?
Just Raglan.
Just about Raglan.
Yeah. You know.
Immerse yourself in Raglan.
I love it. You know, look, I can photograph so many different things all over the country, but when people come into my gallery, all they want is Raglan.
Yeah, so yeah, I was going to ask you that. What is the stuff that people most like, most buying off you?
Just Raglan.
And surf or orca?
Surfing, yeah. A lot of my old black and white stuff.
Yeah.
The pictures I was taking in the late 70s.
Yeah,
that sells really well.
Yeah, because that's...
People like that.
That iconic era when people came and surfed, but there was no industry around it, and you just had to turn up and hope that it was good. Yeah.
Another stuff, I do a bit of abstract, like doing a bit of abstract work, you know, just a bit of photoshopping, a bit of creativity and that. And, that sells as well too.
So I was trying to find the oldest retro pics. You haven't got that much on your website of retro pics?
No, I haven't actually. I've still got a lot there I've got to put on. I'm a bit slow on putting stuff on. My daughter, Kylie, she was... putting all my work on for me, but she's over in Byron Bay living there now. So I've had to learn myself to put stuff on. So it's a bit of a slow process for me.
Upload. But there's that classic shot of the old Holden at Manu Bay.
Yeah, 63 Holden, I think that was. 63 or 64.
It looks a little worse for wear.
I don't think that board ever come off the roof racks. Used to see that in town quite regularly, and it always had, I think it was bolted onto the car.
It was probably, if they took it off, the car would fall apart.
Probably. I don't know who, I don't remember. I wish I knew whose car that was.
Yeah, there is definitely, yeah, people will definitely lap up that retro stuff.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that picture to the right, that one of the guy just walking with that surfboard there, that is a very popular one as well.
So it's called the Beach Walk, and it's like you've got your zoom out for that one, so everything's foreshortened, and you can see the people walking down the beach with surfboards.
And just that one guy in the middle
is
a standout. Just the way he's walking, got the surfboard on his head. And that once you enlarge that, you really can see it. And what I've done with that print, I've cropped it, so I've only got the guy now.
Oh, okay, yep.
And it's coming up. I've been playing around with that one quite a lot, actually.
Well, that's the other thing with digital photography. In fact, are you shooting in RAW format? So
yep.
So every photo has to be treated anyway?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a discussion about you don't treat it too far because you make a not real photo? Do you care about that discussion, or you just want to make something look good?
I don't care. You know, it's like an artist, like a painter. They can paint a scene, but if there's a telegraph pole with lines behind it, they can get rid of it. But if we do it, it's called cheating sometimes, isn't it? Oh, yeah. you Photoshop that scene out.
Yeah.
But, you know, can a painter do it, but a photographer can't do it?
Yeah.
You know, then they say we're cheating. It's your Photoshop, that picture.
But it's all just ideas anyway, that sort of thing.
I like the Photoshop. I like playing around with it. It's creative energy to me.
Right.
It's a lot of energy that you can play around. You can make things look a lot better than what they are.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
It's real fun.
And that's how you feel when you're taking the photos as well, that creative moment.
A lot of times I take a picture these days, I can visualize what I want to get in the end product. That's taken a long time to do that, but, you know.
That's experience.
Yeah, I think so. Sort of over half a life of behind the lens.
So still learning.
Still learning. Yeah. I'm always learning. You know.
What I found, like I was saying to you off the air, that I've been doing this job for 10 years, and I sit here and it's everything stayed this way for years, and it's very hard for me to change what I do because everything, there's a lot of autopilot stuff happens.
Looks mind-boggling, actually, what you're doing there.
So you can forget about most of these dials. They actually don't, I'm not doing anything with them. There's just you and me over here, and when I play some music, it's that one. So,
you're right.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it looks.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of that habit that I've built up, the reflex of sitting here and doing things. Do you feel that behind the camera at all?
Yeah. Yep. Sometimes. Sometimes I just like setting the camera on a different setting and just move the camera around, see what happens. Just doing different things with the camera.
Introduce a random element.
Yeah. I don't want all my pictures to be sharp, crystal clear, you know. Magazines like it like that, but in creative side of photography, sometimes just blur's good. You can do a bit of blurring and moving the camera around. Night photography, you know, shooting the stars and slow shutter speeds, it's all great. Great with the camera.
Yeah, and there is definitely a desire, because you can get perfect shots now, and the desire for something that is a blurred or grainy or something, and it gives the viewers the way they can interpret it a little bit in a way that's meaningful for them. I think something's going on there anyway.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's really nice shooting the water. You've got to have the tripod, but usually, with slow shutter speed, it just goes like glass.
Oh, yeah. You get sort of silky.
Yeah. That's a nice little technique I've been playing around with as well.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have, are there photographers who inspire you? I know you didn't, like, if you go to photography school, you get taught about famous photographers and stuff like that, and you're supposed to develop what they do, but you fell into this. So are there other photographers that inspire you?
There was other photographers, I just can't remember their names now, actually, but they were American photographers, and it was all black and white work.
Yeah.
They were doing, it was all landscape, mainly, and they were pretty amazing at what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, not really, you know, like, even the Bill Lindbergh was a great photographer, you know, and I respected his work. You know, I could see his style that I didn't want to copy. You don't want to copy anyone's style. You've got to try to get your own style in what you do.
Yeah, and that should emerge over time anyway.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
Like maybe when you're young, you copy something to try it out, see how it fits for you. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
But then, no, there's so many good photographers out there now, you know, that, just hopefully my work can keep going, you know.
Yeah.
And people, you know, like what I do.
So do you, when you're out taking photos, are you taking something with in the back of your mind to go, okay, this one will be popular with people, I know that people are like this, or are you just taking them for yourself and what comes out of it comes out of it?
Well, like today, I'm walking around with a camera. If I see something interesting, I'll photograph it.
Yeah.
But I like photographing people too, you know.
As I discovered when you walked in the studio.
Yeah, I would have photographed a few more people, but I didn't have time. I was racing in here. I thought, I don't want to be late.
Yes.
That was the question again?
I forgot. Where the discussion was just going. My next question was going to be, do you like being photographed yourself?
Me, shit, no.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
I thought you'd say something like that.
That's why I'd rather be behind the lens camera.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. You know, yeah. I enjoy taking pictures of people, but me, no, I'm not photogenic at all, I don't think.
Well, there have to be photos of you, so a little bit, like on your web. Well,
there is one, I think.
There's one, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't want to look at it.
Same photo from 15 years ago, probably. Using.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you spent time here and at Byron Bay.
Yep.
And which one's better for photography?
Well, I'm going back to Byron Bay in September, just to do photography. With a very dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
We're going up to Hervey Bay, going to photograph the whales.
Yep.
The whale watching season's happening over there.
Right.
So it's whales, dolphins, surfing.
So that's a big part. Do you know, I've never been to Byron, but I'm hearing that's a big part of...
That's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's fast, beautiful, a bit beautiful, you know. Great surf. You know, you've got surf everywhere you go around there. You've got the pass, you've got Wadigos, Lennox Head, Broken Head, the Gold Coast, which I wouldn't bother because it's just too busy.
But yeah.
There's so much potential around there. In photography-wise, well, it's different, eh? It's more, you got dolphins jumping out of the waves beside you all the time. Humpback whales, you know.
Is that a marine reserve around there or something?
It is, actually.
Right, that would explain that.
It is a marine reserve.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe we need one here.
Yeah, but photographing there is completely different. I think on my website I've got a few of Byron Bay on there.
Yeah.
Actually, the dolphins surfing, that'd be Byron Bay. You
know? Yeah, I was looking at that one before. Yeah.
I haven't seen many dolphins here in my life, very few. I've seen more orcas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every now and again you hear about someone who got to surf with a Maui dolphin or saw one while they were fishing. And people value those moments.
Yeah.
Because they're so rare.
Yeah. I've only seen them probably once or twice.
So is the
time here.
Is the vibe of Byron Bay pretty similar to Raglan?
Yeah, it is.
Just bigger?
A lot bigger. It's a good vibe, actually. It's got a lot of good music there.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the Blues Fest there, which I've been to, which is pretty amazing.
So that people say that Raglan's traveling. Raglan is on a trajectory 10, 15, 20 years behind Byron Bay. Where they go, we go. And that kind of frightens a few locals here.
Yeah, well, everything that Raglan's or Byron's got, virtually Raglan's getting, you know, like cafes, health food places, you know, the eateries here are really nice in Raglan now. They're really improved compared to when I got here. All you could buy was a bacon and egg pie or a potato.
What, 1971?
Yeah, 71, 72. It's the first time I ever tried a potato top pie or a bacon and egg pie was at the Duck Inn.
Right.
Remember the Duck Inn?
Yeah, that was here when I got here in 2000.
I think it's where the real estate agent used to be.
Isobar.
Oh, it's where the Isobar.
Yeah, it's Isobar. Right. Yeah,
that would blew me out. You know, I thought
you never see one of those before.
Never see one in Aussie.
Didn't have those in Australia. Well, there's a thing I didn't know.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
No, never seen a bacon and egg pie before. And I said, wow, this is good.
Yeah. Hey, it's time for us to wrap up. But one last question. Like, When's the best time of day to take a photo in Raglan?
Oh, well, you've got the gold now. Morning, early morning, before sunrise.
Yeah.
And just before sunset.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, that, the gold, they're the golden hours.
But you say before we went on the air, you're not really a morning person?
I used to be.
Yeah.
But I've got enough morning shots, I think. I'm sort of more of the afternoon guy now.
Right.
Anytime I'll get up in the morning is if I know the surf's going to be extra, extra good, I get super excited.
Yeah.
I get my drone ready. I get all my camera gear ready. Drive down. If it looks good, you know, or I'll even go down to the wharf and it's beautiful down there photographing.
Yeah.
The sun coming up there too sometimes. But no, I do get up occasionally. Occasionally I do get up.
And do you take photos every day?
Almost every day, yes.
Almost every day.
Almost every day. I've already got a few today.
Yeah, I know. I'm in them. Yeah. Well, look, John, thank you heaps for coming. I've been wanting to talk to you for ages. Really nice to see you and talk about your photos with you and photography. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thank you, Aaron. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
And, folks, if you want to see the photos we've been talking about, it's Millick Photography. Millick is M-I-L-E-K, photography.com. And you'll be hit by the lines to the horizon shot as soon as you get to the website, which I highly recommend.